Last time we began discussing the halachos of rachakos, and we began discussing the prohibition of hashat, extending an object, and zvika, throwing an object. We mentioned that there are two reasons found in Rishonim, both of them happen to be found in different iterations of the Rashba, as to why we have an isur of hashata, which again does not appear anywhere in the Gemara and is not found in all Rishonim. One reason is because of a chashash negiah. We're concerned if you are allowed to extend an object to your spouse, you may come to touch. And the other is a concern of kirv hadas. We noted that the Baal HaShulchan suggests that this may be the nafkamina between these two, maybe whether there's an isser of zrika. There are machlokes from some of the later Rishonim that not only is there a prohibition of hashata, there's a prohibition of zrika as well, so it makes sense to talk about zrika if we are concerned about kirv hadas, less so if we're concerned about a chashash negiah. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, makes no mention of an Isser Zrika, and the Ramah does quote Lalacha, the Isser Zrika. Even Rav Avadya, though, acknowledges that for Sfardim, it's preferable to be Machmir on Zrika, despite the fact that it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. In the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he suggests, theoretically, there might be another Nafkamin as well between these two reasons, and that would be whether there is an Isser of Hoshata in a public situation. One could have argued that if the concern about Hoshata is a Chashash Negiah, so the Chashash Negiah is no less pronounced if you are in public than if you are in private. However, if there's a concern of Kirav Das, so the Chashash of Kirav Das leading to an Aveira is going to be much less pronounced if the couple is in a public setting. Nevertheless, we don't find anywhere Poskim making such a distinction, and we presumably assume that both reasons, both the Kirav Das reason and the Chashash Negiah reason, may be operative l'halacha. Nevertheless, I did come across the following interesting marmalka. We quoted last time. I had only seen it quoted secondhand, but since then I looked it up inside. We mentioned last time that the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Tshuva Beis Yitzchak regarding why it is permissible for a husband to extend a get to his wife, even if his wife is in a state of nidus. The Shuvas Beis Yitzchak is found in Chelek Beis Yoredeya Simen Yud Ches. Yoredeya Chelek Beis Simen Yud Ches. So the Darkei Tshuva that we quoted last time, citing this Beis Yitzchak, actually only presents one of three distinct reasons that the Beis Yitzchak gives. The Beis Yitzchak actually gives the following three reasons for why we're not concerned about a husband giving a get to his wife who is in a state of nidus. So number one is the reason that we quoted last time of the Darkei Tshuva quotes of Laracha Kasi, that the whole concern about Harchakos in general is that Harchakos will lead to some form of Kirav Das. And that is relevant if you have a couple that is continuing to remain married. But if you are in the process of divorcing your wife, so we're not concerned about such kirav das, because l'racha kasi, your whole intention in this act, in this interaction, is to divorce her so you have nothing to do with her anymore. He quotes as an example, we find in the Gemara in Sachem Daf Yud Aleph, in the context of Bedikas Chametz, machlokes tanayim, whether if you neglected to perform Bedikas Chametz before Pesach, may you perform Bedikas Chametz on Pesach. So then we postulate the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, that we perform Bedikas Chametz even on Pesach itself, but we're not concerned that Shema Yochlenu. Why are we not concerned Shema Yochlenu? Because the whole objective of Bedikas Chametz on Pesach is to eradicate the Chametz because you know it is now Usher. So just like over there, we're not concerned about Shema Yochlenu because essentially L'Racha Kasi, your whole intent is to eradicate the Chametz, so here also we're not concerned about any level of Kirav Das if you are in the process of divorcing your wife. Number two, he says a distinct reason, which is related, is that at the time of the Nisina Faget, you are effecting the divorce. So at the time that the get reaches her hands, you are no longer married to her, and therefore the Harchakos don't apply. Harchakos only apply to Isha, doesn't apply to other Rayas, and therefore there's no concern, because, as we said last time, essentially Gita Vyada Bankachas. And then the third reason that he quotes is that we're now concerned about Kirov Das, we're now concerned about Hergal Avera. Why? Because the get is given Barabim. A get given in the presence of a minion. That's what it says in the Seder again. That you're supposed to give a get in the presence of a minion. Nowadays, we're not so accurate about that anymore. It would be taxing on the party, taxing on the bezdin to have a minion around every time you give a get. So generally, we're not accurate about that, except for, I don't know if I ever told you this, Rabbi Wollhandler, Mikufei Halachos, Zechon Levracha. So he also has to say Frank Gittin, so I once went to a get that he was Masader, and he told me that he's Machmir to have he was a Turi Kartanik or around generally that Machmir. He wasn't Turi Kartanik proper, he had a falling out, but he was in the right of Sam or around the Turi Kartanik part of the spectrum. So he told me that he's not going to have a minion for Nesina Saget, but his vehicles include women in the minion. It's a matter of piersum, so for that you can be desired women. But in general, we're not machmir to have a minion for a get. Nevertheless, that's what the Beit Yitzchak says here. I guess in his time, if it says a seder get, there was more of the practice. So if you have something that's done in the presence of a minion, done by rabbin, so then there's no concern about key of das. They said, if that's the case, so should you be matir hoshata if it's done in public? That would be a kinyan kula. But he says, well, matzino. So why? He suggests that when it comes to hoshata in general, so there, that's something that could transpire, barabim could transpire in the privacy of your own home. So we're not mechalek because that's all one package. A standard hoshata and the ishla is going to be usher v'mei nidusa, even though one could have theoretically argued that if it's barabim, there's no chashash of kiradas, because lo pluk. But a get is a standalone institution, it's always done barabim, so when it comes to a get, which is always done barabim, he thinks that there's no concern of kiradas, and therefore there'd be no isser of hoshata, even if ishto nida. So those are his three reasons for being master, giving a get to a woman who is in nida. Number one, l'rafa kasi. Number two, gita v'yoda v'am ka'achas. And number three, there's no kir das in something that is done to rabbin. Then he says another possible napkamina between his reasons would be, let's say, you have a get shkimera. So the reason, a get given out of love. You know, the husband's giving a get to his wife because he's deathly ill. And he's afraid that he's going to die, and the woman is going to be Zakuka Liyibam, where the Abam is a communist living behind the Iron Curtain. So it'll be impossible to procure Halitza. So there, you're not giving the get because of the Rafa Kasi. You love her, and that's why you're giving her the get to save her from a potential problem down the road. So he thinks that the reason of the Rafa Kasi, so maybe there, the heter wouldn't apply, but if the reason is the rabbin, so then it's the same the rabbin. So the only reason I'm quoting this is because, despite the fact, or given the fact, that the postman did not distinguish between something done publicly and something done privately, nevertheless, there is at least the suggestion that maybe in one area of halacha that distinction could have relevance. Okay. The Badei Shulchan writes over here, Achronim writes, the Badei Shulchan from Sif Katan Yutes, that even in a situation in which a woman is going to feel embarrassed, there's no grounds to be makel to allow for hoshata. So she's in a public setting, and it's going to be obvious if husband and wife are not passing something directly. Nevertheless, there's no grounds lahakel on the iser hoshata. Ramosha writes, in Chelik Beis Yerodeya Simen Ayin Zayin, Chelik Beis Yerodeya Simen Ayin Zayin, a famous paragraph in that Shuvah, that there's no consideration of Kavod Abrias when it comes to these matters, because there isn't really any cause for embarrassment. He writes, Ein Bezebi Zayin Kokafti Yadua Lakol, everyone knows, Shanashim Hei Nidos Yud Beis Yom B'chol Chodesh. So a normal, healthy woman is going to be a nida for at least 12 days a month, if not a little bit more. So that's part of life. And there are certain harkakos that apply during that period. So for almost half of every month, a woman has to be knowing these harkakos. So that's a normal part of life. That shouldn't be a cause for embarrassment. That the practice was in the past, that women would have special garments for Yemei Nidus. And then obviously everyone would know that she was in Nida, and yet presumably they weren't embarrassed. That's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Ches. That it's appropriate for women to have special garments when she's in Nida. So that everyone should know that she is a Nida. This is not so commonly practiced. Why is it not so commonly practiced? Yeah?
When you do it, it's only like a
Right, so that's, so not so, so Rabbi Willer points out, it's not so commonly practiced because even though Shulchan Aruch is writing in a time where we're not concerned about Tumah anymore, so the fact that it makes it here seems to indicate that there's some thinking that it's not only Tumah related, but fundamentally, the reason that Bisman HaGemara, or Bisman HaMishnayos, there was a need for a woman to wear other garments when she was in need, it was because you have to know who was Tami and who was Tari, because that Nafkamin is everything you touch. So then there's no choice but to have different garments so that everyone would know who's Tami and who's Tari. But Bismanenu, the practice is not to wear a special begadim if you may need to do so, because we're not concerned about Tumah V'Tahara. So once we're not concerned about Tumah V'Tahara, given the psychology of women, it is the case that women may feel embarrassed at any public demonstration of the fact that she is Bimei Medusa. Shai.
There's things that don't have to be connected. I mean, it could be that there was a point where women, even at Tumah V'Tahara, women weren't embarrassed, or we didn't really care so much they were embarrassed. I mean, I know my great grandmother-in-law,
they say she had to
wear special clothes, like it was
only
100 years ago.
Okay.
That's just like a Tumah V'Tahara thing.
Not intertwined,
I'm trying to...
They're not necessarily intertwined, but... True. It is the case we're not concerned about Tumah V'Tahara anymore. And so the fact that women used to wear special begadim for nidus isn't necessarily as relevant as Manenu, because it's not generally practiced. And it is true that if you ask most women, they'll tell you that there is a sensitivity and they are definitely aware and sensitive about any public demonstration that they are Bimei Nidus. Nevertheless, Zalacha Zalacha, and there still is an Isra Hoshata. Rabbi Willing's general orientation in these matters is that you can't compromise on the Isra Hoshata per se, you can't compromise on the Isra Zrika per se, but where there are other tzirufim, so the notion of embarrassment can be thrown into the mix as a sniff to allow for certain kulas under certain circumstances, as we will discuss. And that is along the lines of the crazy placey that we quoted last time, of Losa Sifu Pentagro, the orientation that when it comes to these matters, it could sometimes be dangerous to be extra machmir because every chumrah could lead to a kula. Yeah.
If anyone ever heard someone to be mitzayik that according to Moshe Hanis is inside, but that it's, the assumption is there's no embarrassment, but Moshe himself would say, when you see the woman was embarrassed, then that alone would be sufficient.
Sufficient for what?
To drop the Isra Hoshata. Meaning the Isra, he's saying they shouldn't be embarrassed, but like if they are, they are.
I don't believe that's the case.
Okay,
I mean,
he's saying they shouldn't be embarrassed and like they don't have the right to be mocked on their embarrassment.
He's dismissive of the notion that women are embarrassed. Even if a woman would be embarrassed, the din doesn't change. Because no one says that you can cavalierly disregard the Yisro Hashata because people are embarrassed. But in the mindset of some poskim, there may be a sniff, to see your brother sniff him, to allow for certain kulas. Okay. That notion of embarrassment, you do find in the Chayyadam. Chayyadam writes in Hilchot Pesach, of all places, Klal Kuf Lamed, the end of Klal Kuf Lamed in the Chayyadam, he has the Kitzer Hilchot Leil HaSeder. So in the end of Kuf Lamed in his Kitzer Hilchot Leil HaSeder, Os Zayin, he says that you lift up the Seder plate And the minhag is that all the members of the household lift up the Seder plate together. It must have been a big Seder plate. And then he writes, "Lifamim she'ishta nida," but sometimes his wife will be a nida, the other is bayeshes, and she will be embarrassed. Osha ba'im lidei schok. Which may mean that people will make fun of her. Not sure. V'lachein yoser nachon shela olam lo tadbiya ishto akara. And that's why it is appropriate, better, that never let the wife join in lifting up the Seder plate. Because if she never lifts the Seder plate, then I'll notice that this year she is lifting it, and next year she's not. So if you have a situation in which there is a recognizable circumstance where a woman is not being magdia something together with her husband where she'd otherwise be expected to do so, that could create embarrassment. So better to not get yourself in that situation, and the more appropriate practice of the chayadim is that the woman of the house should never participate in lifting up the Seder plate.
Would it not make a difference?
And then you say halach man.
Would there not make a difference? Is there any difference about the fact there's like 10 people holding up the plate in addition to them too, or?
10 people, it's a big family.
They say however many other people are holding on to it also.
No, so the poskim assume that if, by the way, this Chaya Adam is one of the, you don't find explicitly in such earlier poskim, the Chaya Adam isn't that early, but before the Chaya Adam, I don't know if there's any explicit discussion of the problem of husband and wife holding, carrying an object together, meaning the Fashat of Rizrika. Carrying is very logically an extension of that, but not discussed so explicitly in earlier sources. You see the Chayyim is concerned about that, and you see that he's concerned about it, even if there are other people carrying it together. So that seems to be the approach of Poskim. It doesn't make a difference if there are other people carrying also, that it would still be problematic to carry something with your wife who is a nida. So the Chayyim seems to be sensitive or aware of the possibility of embarrassment, and therefore makes this suggestion. Rabbi Willa used to say that he would never hand the summon directly to his wife, Bat Abdullah, so it shouldn't be apparent that this week you are handing them the summon directly, this week you're not handing them the summon directly. That way no one would pick up on any changes in routine. So whatever your normal routine is, you can take into consideration what makes sense. That's a noticeable event that is public and could easily be picked up on. So anyone is free to make whatever arrangements make sense. Okay, but along the lines of that Chayadam, Rav Moshe writes, I think I gave you this on the Mar Makamos, Yoredei Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Hey. Yoredei Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Hey. In the paragraph beginning, Ula Harim. So Rav Moshe thinks that on a Me'ikradin level, theoretically, there may be a difference between carrying a light object and carrying a heavy object. Now, carrying a light object would be an objective problem, carrying a light object together, because that could lead presumably to more ki rabdas, as opposed to a heavy object, which is just an inconvenience or a not pleasant experience. Nevertheless, the Moshe writes that it's preferable to be machmir even with a heavy object, not to carry it together with your wife. And that's one of the lines we quoted last time, where Moshe says that in these matters it is commendable to be machmir. Rabbi Eider quotes a kula from Moshe, page 147, that there used to be something called a telephone with a cord. I don't know if people have that anymore. So Moshe writes that if the wife is talking on the phone, holding the receiver, usually it's the wife who's talking on the phone and not the other way, So the wife is talking on the phone and holding the receiver, and the cord is dangling and blocking the husband's path because he wants to get to the next room. So then the husband is allowed to lift up the cord so he can duck under and proceed to wherever he's going. Presumably Moshe is assuming that the cord and the receiver are considered to be two separate objects, and therefore he is matir. Okay. The Pisgah Shuvah quotes here in Sikkot and Gimel. From Metshuvas Yad Eliyahu. Ein isha nida rasha lahachzik ner biyada kidei sheyishta bala tabak. So he's not drinking tobacco, he is smoking tobacco. But that's what it means, that a woman should not hold a candle to light up her husband's cigarette. So she shouldn't hold up a candle to allow him to light his cigarette or to warm himself or to light another candle from that candle. What is that based on? So he quotes a Mishnah Machshirin that indicates Hevel is Mechaber. That the Hevel, the smoke, or the extension of the flame, that which the flame emits, is considered to be Mechaber. So even though technically speaking, if you're lighting a candle from another candle, you're not touching, but that's all considered one continuum because the Hevel is Mechaber, what you're holding and what she is holding. Nevertheless, Moshe writes in Chelik Beis 7 Pei Gimel that there's no problem for a woman to hold the Abdullah candle and for her husband to say the bracha and to be nana from the or, because there, that's one step removed. There it's not that the Hevel is the chaver between your cigarette and the flame. She's holding the flame, and you're saying a bracha, how your nana from the or of the flame, but there's no real chibur there. So Moshe said that's not a problem if the woman is going to hold the Abdullah candle, and the husband is going to say the bracha and be nana from the or. Okay. Just a parenthetical about the Zrika. I said the Sefer Sugava Shoshanim, which is one of the classic Sefers on Hilchos Har Chukos, published in the 70s. So he asked there in Zrika, where is the Zrika is often Mishum Kir Das, as we discussed, so at what point is the Kir Das? Is the Kir Das on the way up or the way down? It's when you throw an object to your wife, says the kir das and the thrower and the catch. The nafkamina, if a woman is pure sanida, after you throw it before she catches it. So almost perfect. So what's important there, I guess, is the theory more than the practice. But he thinks that the ikar kir das is on the catch, not on the throw, and therefore even if she's pure sanida in the interim, it would still be usher to catch. Okay. Yeah? Svar de Nafshe.
He says it's a catch?
Yes.
Who was that?
The Sefer Sugava Shoshanim. I have it on my desk upstairs. Okay. The Bali Yisrofen writes in Sikkot and Cafe that a husband is allowed to hold an umbrella over his wife's head. So says Rabbi Eider, page 150. Rabbi Shulchan says, Kafin Kafei, Rabbi Eider, page 150. But they should be careful not to touch each other. Rabbi Willard told me once that it may depend on how you're holding the umbrella. If you're holding the umbrella over your wife to protect her, so then there's less of a chashash nagi. If you're holding it to protect yourself and then she's tagging along, which shouldn't be the case, So then maybe there's more of a chashash negiya. Okay. Then the Baal HaShulchan writes in Sifkat and Kavzayin that he's matmir. You shouldn't remove an object from a bag that your spouse is holding, nor place an object in a bag that your spouse is holding. Okay, that's what he writes in Sifkat and Kavzayin. You can't remove an object, and you can't place an object. And then he writes in Sifkat and Lamed that nevertheless, you can throw an object into a bag. So you can't place an object, but you can throw an object. What's the svara lechalik? Not so clear. That's probably an extension on the hand. So Rabbi Willig also said it wasn't so clear. Rabbi Willig's big kula here is that you can put something in your wife's pocketbook, or theoretically vice versa. What's that based on? So let's see here for factors. Number one, the Ritva we quoted last time in Suva Samach Aleph, that Hoshata Ayide Shinoi is Mutter. So to put something directly in her hand, that's an Isra Hoshata. To put something in a pocketbook, that's already a Shinoi. That's not the normal way of passing something. So that's factor number one. The Tzirav, the Das, Harambam, and other Rishonim that don't have the Isra Hoshata. And if you want to throw in the busha factor as well. So essentially, relying on the ritva together with those Rishonim that don't have an Isra Hoshata, together with busha, Rabbi Willig thinks that there is nothing wrong with placing an object in your wife's pocketbook. Yeah?
What's the busha factor there?
If it's in a public situation where... But you don't have to go on to busha. Even without that, he thinks these first two factors would be sufficient grounds for kula. Anyway, even the Baal HaShulchan is made up into the pocketbook. So why should he distinguish between zikin to the pocketbook and hoshat in the pocketbook? And as Rabbi Willig likes to say, that's why pocketbooks were created.
Is the issue of like midnud applicable? I don't know if I'm not correct here. Like if she'll feel like what we talked about, maybe on a bed or a couch,
right.
She'll feel so like she has a knapsack and like you like
right.
Put it in and like zip it up and like she'll feel. Is that an issue here, or is it just only here?
I don't know. Zipping up.
Hmm?
I don't know, but I'm not talking about zipping up. I'm saying putting in.
Well, let's even say
I don't think it'd be much to zip it up.
Well, let's say it was something heavy enough that like she would
yeah.
feel the force. So does that change things, or we don't want to carry that at the club, it's like only by sitting down?
I hear. I can hear that being a consideration. Okay. Now let's talk about babies. So in the Pesach Shuvah Sivkatim Gimel, he quotes from the Shuvah Tatash Beitz. So read the Pesach Tshuva. Ayin Tashveis Chelak Gimel Siman Nuches from the Siman Reish Lamed. Shekas of the Mutter Lito Miyada Hatinok Mishum Dechai No Seyef Atzma. That you're allowed to pass a baby from one spouse to another because Chai No Seyef Atzma. Vuhi Eina Osa Klom. She's not doing anything. Alatina Gatmu Yosem Mechek Imo Uba el Aviv. It's the Tinok himself that is moving. So, as the Pesach Tshuva notes, there are two tshuvas here in the Tashbeitz, and what he quotes here is a conflation, so to speak, of the two tshuvas. In Siman Nun Ches, he just writes, it's mutter because Chai no seyat atmo. And in Siman Reish Lamed, he writes, V'hi eina osa klum, she's not doing anything, ela tinok atmo hu yose mechek imo balachay kotev. It's a tinok that is doing everything. Then the Pirkei Tshuva continues, V'nira dimen tinok katan ochola, okafus aser, the ozlo shayich lomer chayinu atei tatmo, like the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan asks here in Os, in Sivkat and Hei, in Os Hei. What does chayinu atei tatmo do with anything? Chayinu atei tatmo is in Hilchos Hotsos, Tosus explains, in Shabbos, Tzadi Dalai Ben Aleph, Shabbos Tzadi Dalai Ben Aleph, Tosus writes, Chayinu atei tatmo means that there could be a Ptur Hotsos because it's Eina Domi Demishkan. That the Hotsos that was done on the Mishkan wasn't on living beings. So then, within Tosus' definition of Malchus Shein Sichul Gufa, that could be Malchus Shein Sichul Gufa in any event that's not Domi Demishkan. So what does that have to do with Hilchos Nida? Rabbi Eider says, maybe it's just a borrowed term. It doesn't mean Chai Noseh is Atmo in the Hilchos Shabbat sense. He means that the baby is moving on his own. The baby could move on his own, the baby is moving on his own. That's the lashon in Siman Reish Lamed, that the baby is jumping into the other parent's hands. That's why Rabbi Eider writes that you could be mekel if the baby is soccer jumping into the other parent's hands. That to extend the baby on your own might be a problem. It would be a problem. But if the baby jumps on his own, that would be okay. This is Rabbi Willig's other big kula in Hilchos Archakos, that he's matir handing off a baby from one spouse to another based on the following series of factors. Number one, a baby is a cholep. Number two, chai noseh atmo, whatever that means in this context. Number three, sakana. You're going to not pass the baby directly, so you've got a situation in which the baby is going to be put in a precarious situation. If you put him on the ground or on the cart hood or whatever the case may be. And number four, the busha factor. So if you put all those together, Rabbi Willig thinks that there is grounds vishofi to allow passing a baby from one spouse to another. Huadin for carrying a stroller together, which many of the contemporary poskim are machmir on, but even there, the contemporary poskim have kulas. If Rabbi Eider writes, lech achila, you shouldn't, but where it's difficult, where you're going up a set of stairs, and there's no one else to help, and you can't do it on your own, so then, if the husband holds the front, if the wife holds the back, then you're okay. Or Diane Fisher writes, Evan Yisrael Chela Tessim and Pei, Evan Yisrael Chela Tessim and Pei, that if it's raining and there's no one to help, so then you can carry the stroller together up the staircase. So even the Machmirim acknowledge that there are certain situations where it may be permissible to be mako and carrying the stroller together. Rabbi Willig's orientation of these things is between the Pakaba Kula and the Baby Kula. You solve 90% of all potentially compromising public situations. Yeah.
Going back to the rider in terms of the baby actually jumping from one
Area.
Does that mean like reach? You know, like
reach. It doesn't mean if he's like, really jumping, that could be dangerous. Yes.
Right. And I just think there's a general question about the busha factor.
Mm-hmm.
The only place we've seen it thus far was in that Hayyot, and his response to the Musha factor is, and therefore you shouldn't do it when she's Tahora as well.
Well, you should navigate it. You should...
Based for saying that you can use the Musha factor...
So that's like the Shoel, you know, the Ramosha is dismissive of the notion that there is a Musha. That there is Musha. So even Ramosha may acknowledge that theoretically, if there was Busha, so were there other Tzirufim that could come to the mix as a sniff? And even if Moshe didn't, so it could be a sniff to influence other factors to allow for a Kula. So let's just conclude today with the analysis we began last time of ping pong. So last time we discussed ping pong and tennis. Last time we discussed in the context of games whether there's a problem of Kirif Das when it comes to games, via games like tennis, ping pong, or even board games like Scrabble and chess, where some of the contemporary poskim of the last generation were Machmir, Rabbi Ayer B'Shem Ramosha, and Rabbi Karp B'Shem Rebel Yashiv. And the Deborah Siner, Ber Moshe, was dismissive of this and assumes that there's no issue of Kirif Das at all. Now, there may be some subjective, maybe certain games, where there is more of a factor of Kirif Das, and that might be somewhat subjective. But the other issue that the Deborah Siner discusses more at length is whether in playing ping pong there is an issue of Zrika. So just go through his analysis. This is a chelik aleph siman nun. So apparently he was asked by a husband who was a frequent ping pong player with his wife as to whether it's permissible to play ping pong with his wife, he may need do so. So the Deborah Siner writes that he tried to encourage him to stop this practice and to use the time for Lima Torah, but he was unsuccessful in convincing him because the husband responded that it's only by playing ping pong that he's able to keep his wife from frequenting locations that she shouldn't be at. And but they spoke. So he felt it was a harab in miyuta. So given that agama, that he doesn't endorse the playing of ping pong in general, he presents the following analysis. So what is ping pong? The ish maka the eighth ogol virakov al kadur katan kal hakrisa. So you have this wooden slab that you use to hit a small ball that moves quickly. Hakadur nogev etpil v'chel katia shofan akar l'gabi didei. So first the ball hits the table on your side. He spoke to misafikin al shofan because that's why they call it table tennis. The shofan nechlag v'beiv kolak v'aydei reshes. And in fact, the table is divided into two, and there's a net in the middle. Ukishenaga kador miyashoka and zechel kasamukla. First, it bounces on your side. Then kovitzumala, it jumps up, miyarashes above the net. Zechel alchel kashoka nesheni. Then it bounces on the second side. Ukishakozir rabia kador asma miyashoka, and then on the second bounce, ishtar amedes alrosh ashoka and zechel kasheni. His wife is on the other side, waiting for the ball. Makad the kador. So the excitement's building. That's the shaila. He says it's mutter. After all, you're not throwing the ball to your spouse. Ala adarabba. The rules are that if Dafka has to dance first. So then, apparently Rav Menashe Klein was not happy with this. Because in Ber Moshe, Chelik Bey, Simon Samus Zion, the Deborah Siner responds to an angry response from Rav Menashe Klein. But apparently Rav Menashe Klein was bothered that maybe it's not going to bounce. Maybe it'll go straight to the spouse without a bounce. So the Deborah Siner responds, why should you be concerned about Darvish Eina Miskavein Melchumra Derabbanan? But you don't want it to be, you want it to bounce. And if anything, as I clarified with Yisrael the other day, apparently I'll pee Chukei Hamisak, as he says, if you return the serve, even on a subsequent volley, without it bouncing on the other side of the net, then it's the server's points. So it's to your detriment to not let it bounce. As opposed to tennis, where after the serve, if you hit it back on the fly, that's fine. In ping pong, if you hit it back on the fly after the serve, meaning any volley after the serve, that's not okay. So it's to your detriment. Maybe it can be the chavit between tennis and ping pong. Maybe tennis for that reason would be more of a problem.
No, with tennis.
What? No. Not on the serve.
No, not on the serve.
Right.
But if we're playing ping pong, and
right,
maybe he serves it to me.
Right.
And I hit it back on the fly.
Right.
I mean, it has to hit the table to be a point. But I mean,
right,
if I don't hit the table, then it's
right,
a point ready. But
right,
tennis would be the same thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
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 In ping pong, if you if you hit the ball before it bounces, period.
Right.
And it's off the table.
Right.
You lose a point.
Right. Okay. So we can talk about the details later. But he thinks the fact that there's a possibility that you may end up catching it or hitting it back on the fly isn't enough reason to aser. And he says if you're going to worry about that, then maybe he'll catch it inadvertently, so you should be able to put something on the table in front of your wife, because maybe you'll give it to you directly. And Lo Matzinu, such a far-removed chashash. And then he says, Rav Menashe Klein seems to be confusing tzchok and tzchok. The iser is litzchok, not litzchok. And this is a game, not tzchok. So he thinks that's a conflation of halachic concepts. And then apparently Rav Menashe Klein took issue with chess also. So he writes that the Esher Kvodo Nifsha mi Havle Olam Hazeh, maybe you're so removed from this world, the Eni Yodeya Etzochim Tzchok Shach, maybe you don't know how to play chess. So if you don't play chess, then there's no reason not to play chess. There's no Kiruv Das, you're not touching anything, you're not holding on to something together. So he's Mazur Ping Pong and chess. With that, we will conclude a Frail Kumpurim to all.
Can I be a change on copy of those two chubas? Was it two chubas or one?